Let's go! Welcome into Sports Saturday right here on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I'm Joe Fisher III. Across the faux marble table, Rashad Taylor.
What up, though?
And back with us across the glass, our esteemed producer, Jordan Schultz. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends. Man, it's Saturday. We moving,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, we're doing all right. It's a little overcast, but it'll break up.
I'll take it.
Dude, that was way too humid yesterday.
Yesterday was a little toasty.
Yeah, it was.
It was a little toasty.
This is a nice contrast to some of the weather we've been having over the last couple days. You know, I think one day we had like a severe heat warning or something like that. It's like, so
we have 95 coming this week, too.
How about that weather?
Hey, yeah. Guys, it's something we all have in common, though, right? Affects us all.
I enjoyed a nice night out at the ballpark, out at Walker Stadium.
Always a good time.
Taking in the Portland Pickles. It was Dilly Parton night out at the park. So just it was kind of funny seeing a DJ out there. Like, with, like, a record, like, a legit DJ.
On the ones and twos.
Playing Dolly Parton, though. So he's, like, flipping out records, putting it on.
Some original I Will Always Love You. Like, why not?
Yeah, transitioning from 9 to 5 to, what is it, Islands. What's the song that she does with, damn it, what's that damn song Dolly Parton sings, Island
you know,
in
I
the
gotta
Stream?
Be honest.
Island in the Stream.
Gotta be honest with you, bud. I don't know much Dolly Parton.
All I know is...
Got love for her.
Probably
she's,
like two
you
songs,
know,
yeah.
Nine to Five, Jolene, Islands in the Stream.
Jolene, know that
one. Those two.
That's Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, Islands in the Stream.
Oh, thank you.
So you start once you start doing that, like calling that out the names of the songs, it gets a little easier to be like, okay, of course, no Jolene, but...
Those are the three. And I love Jolene, that song, because when Joey, my son, was younger, I would sing that song, but instead I would say Joey. Joey.
He must hate you for that.
Yeah.
I'm making him clean, I'm paying my man.
My mom and grandparents weren't playing much Dolly Parton in my house for whatever reason. No, didn't hear a lot of Dolly Parton. Heard a lot of Michael McDonald, though. Hey, man, listen. there's a few white guys that are singers, white singers, that are always invited to the barbecue.
He's one of them.
Michael McDonald is one of them.
I wish he is someone who, like, he just doesn't talk. When he talks, he just sings.
Hey there, nice to meet you. Yeah. Michael McDonald, man, that soul in his voice. He has a joint with Patti LaBelle called On My Own. Like he blows, man.
I've actually heard that.
Yeah, and the other guy, I know he takes a lot of flack, you know, because of Carlton kind of made him a bit of a not a joke, but you know, kind of a punchline. But Tom Jones, I don't know if there is a white dude on earth with a better voice than that guy.
You want to know a white singer who was, I think, in the 80s, for a while everybody thought he was black. They're like, man, this guy's got soul. Like, what the
what's
heck?
My man's name?
I know it's Bobby Caldwell. Yeah,
absolutely.
Bobby Caldwell, for years no one knew that he was white, and then he released an album called The Cat in the Hat, or Cat in the Hat, and it had his face on it. And so people then found out, like, wait, this dude's white?
Man, it was going to be like one of those things where, you know, back in the 60s, they used to put white guys on the cover of black albums, so people actually bought it.
Oh, my God.
That was a thing. Like, that was a huge thing. So
no way.
Well, absolutely. If you go back and look at, like, some of the old Isley Brothers albums and stuff, it's a bunch of white people, like, on a beach or stuff like
what?
That. Like, they would do that.
In
the movie,
there's
a movie called The Five Heartbeats, which I'm almost positive neither of you have ever seen. Mm. But it's one of the essential movies in black culture.
No.
But, you know, basically it's about a group from the 1950s, 60s that's trying to make it big and everything like that. So they finally get their big deal, and then the record company comes to them and was like, here's the album cover. And it's like six white people just, you know, frolicking on the beach. And they're like, what do you mean? Where are we? And it's like, yeah, but this will help other people who might be a little more afraid of Negro music.
Wow.
So that was a huge, huge thing back in the 60s and 70s. So
I totally
initially, I thought Bobby Caldwell, I thought that was just a picture of a A white dude. Like, I had no idea.
I guess you wonder where
I... Why is he so blonde?
What a cut, man.
Well, one of my favorite songs of all time is Open Your Eyes by Bobby Caldwell because it's sampled by Common in The Light, which is another great song.
Yeah.
Great singer.
Both great songs. Speaking of music, I actually had a funny moment this morning. Was driving in, stopped by to get my caffeine, my energy drink, and as I'm getting out of the car, I hear someone just blaring music, and I'm like, what the hell? And someone at a stoplight, I look over, and it was a dude in the car. I don't know if there's anybody else in there, like, I don't know, probably middle-aged, white guy, I don't know.
Singing
like,
Paramore, just blasting it to the top of his lungs.
Moulin Rouge was blaring, like the pink,
the original
Christina Aguilera version, blaring out of his car speakers. I was at 8 a.m.
Well, for a second, I thought you said the theme to Moulin Rouge, but
no, the
song. That's a good song. I was like, he was really, what?
Hey, sister, soul sister, that's blowing in the car, loving himself.
Hey, like, that song had a grip on my three sisters for like at least 5
that
years.
That was a ladies' anthem. Because you know what? There was a brief moment in like the mid-2000s, early-2000s, where like it was, again, about girl power and
you
stuff
get
like
it,
that.
Girl. Slay.
So a song like that,
go queen.
I forget some of the other ones. There's a bunch really of like those. Joe's practiced that. He said that before. You know what I mean? Like when he's out with his lady and her friends, I guarantee he blends in like no problem.
Shut up.
I mean, it's all good. That's all good. It's called code switching. That's a good thing.
Code switching.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah, it's called code switching. You're all good.
Do we got Moulin Rouge in the library?
I'm
in the
looking.
System? Maybe we.
What's
we,
the, yeah,
maybe we get, Rouge, get back as a bumper.
It is such a good song.
There's a song called Ladies Night that Lil Kim is also on, and it's with like it's all girls. It's like Angie Martinez, who was a radio host and was the worst rapper on there, which is crazy. And then Missy, but yeah, all about girl power. Shout out to Spice Girls.
Christina Aguilera. Christina Aguilera, Lil' Kim, Maya. That was the fourth one. And Pink. In that. Lady Marmalade. Or is it Marmalade?
Marmalade. Shout out to Patti LaBelle, who is the original version of that song.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
Patti's had a nice little voice, too. Look at us talking about, you know,
music.
Girl, you know, girl music and everything right now. That's awesome.
Yeah, girl.
Girl power. It's cool. And like I said, sometimes if you catch me in the car, there's a good chance. Like I might be listening to rap or might be listening like R&B, but there's a good chance I might be blasting some like No Doubt and singing Don't Speak to the top of my lungs. Like, how about this?
Me,
Jordan, and Chris, my guy Chris, were on the way to the Oregon State game. And we had some rap in there, but for the most part, it was a bunch of alternative and a bunch of like, you know,
good eclectic mix.
90s stuff like that, a bunch of pop. So
coming back from the Wisconsin game last year down at Autzen.
Wisconsin.
RIP my beer cheese soup that fell off the table into the parking lot there. I worked hard on that beer cheese soup.
The whole thing or just the bowl?
No, it was like the pot. I mean, we had plenty, like we had our bowl. We ate some, you know, we got to it.
You wanted more.
Yeah, exactly. I even gave a homeless guy a bowl. He was wandering around the parking lot and he's like, can I have some soup? And I'm like, sure, dude.
Of course, man.
Yeah, I got you, boo.
Good for you.
But on the way back from that game, we were just blaring mid-2000s, punk, you know, like Good Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Not Atreyu. I don't think Paramore was in there. We had some My Chemical Romance playing.
Chevelle in there too. Yeah. I was like mid 2000s.
That's butt rock. Yeah. That's butt rock right there, Chevelle. Like, I feel like we need to get a good butt rock playlist on bump back rotation as well.
Somebody just add Chevelle.
Some Nickelback.
It's kind of the cool thing about It's kind of the cool thing about being a white a black dude in Portland. You know, growing up here is that. Whether you want to or not, you're going to hear all the music.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's music from everywhere. So get a nice little, you know, mixtape of your own going on. So
What's your favorite white guy music? Like, is it like Pearl Jam or something like that?
White guy music? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Like, is it like Yacht Rock, like Toto?
I don't know. Like, my favorite band, I have two of my favorite bands of all time.
Asia?
Number one is,
thank God.
Number one is Queen. Like, it's my favorite band of all time. And then the other one is Sublime.
Yeah.
Sublime is my absolutely. You're talking about the best barbecue music. You're talking about the
vibes.
Best kind of vibes. The vibes are high with Sublime. So that's usually, if
Amber
I get a chance
the
to.
Color of your energy.
Man,
that's
man.
311.
That's 311. That's close. A great record, though.
Damn it.
Whoa.
It's because my wife has it on our Sublime playlist. Do they not sound almost identical?
They're similar.
I mean,
they're similar.
Ska,
the way the song goes.
It's like the 90s. Yeah. Come on.
That is definitely 311.
Well, I screwed that up.
No, yeah. So
listen to Sublime all the time, guys.
So if I get a chance to do that, man. And my favorite, like.
Love Sublime.
You know, I don't know if it's like alternative band, I guess, band. I'm a big fan of All American Rejects. Always have been. It's like my
love it.
I'll keep you my dirty little
secret.
They've got so many cuts, man. But Gives You Hell might be my favorite record that they've ever had.
Your favorite record
from like them or anything like that. Like that was no, absolutely not. But if I get a chance, like I played that for my guy the other day. He was like, "Who is this?" It's like, "It's All American Rejects." Like this is like, a great record. Absolutely.
Well, glad to be here. Glad to be here with you guys. Had a great time out at the Pickles game. You know, I'm in a Portland, like, yeah, let's go, Portland. I'm kind of...
We got to go all in on everything now.
I feel like I've been this a staunch supporter of this city. Like, dude, like, we deserve nice things. Like, this is a dope city. I love this city. If you aren't from here or you don't live here, you just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, like, being at the Pickles game, just... awesome Portland experience. Tonight, going to the Timbers Sounders game.
Oh, that'll be good.
That place is going to be popping.
And I think Portland's taking a little more of a interest in soccer now, especially after the World Cup. I think people are still kind of juiced about it.
Oh, yeah.
And like, okay, let's see if even we can get our neighbor, yeah. our neighborhood squads.
And that rivalry's heated up. I mean, like back in the day when they started, I was told to leave the Sounders section while I was reporting on a game. So that's how contentious it can get.
Well, that's happening later tonight. I actually have some funny audio. About that match later in the show. We will play that at the end of the show because we have some other things to get to today.
Nothing else going on.
No, not a lot. We got to get to the latest in the Moda Center negotiations. The Blazers recently met with the city council and the mayor. That was on Thursday that they went out there. We got some stuff from like Big Ten Media Day. I figured that we can all just talk about the Big Ten and what our expectations and what we expect from all these teams and things that we heard. Also have a great display of chemistry and camaraderie between one team that I want to play some audio for you because I think this just goes to show that this team is just, you know, they're a brotherhood. They're locked in. They have some traditions and things that they do with each other that I think is going to make this team real tight this season. And we'll get to that at the end of the first hour. Jordan, what I need from you before the second hour is I need your AFC and NFC South winners. All right. Me and Rashad started the divisions last week. We will do NFC North and AFC North in the second hour.
Cool.
I have a segment titled The Kyles in the second hour as well. Get to that and explain that more when we're there.
Do we have a fat Travis Kelce segment?
Fat Travis Kelce, is he fat?
Have we not seen the pictures from training camp this week?
He got married.
Putting on that wedding weight, man.
Yeah, not only did he look fat, he looked a little downtrodden.
Taylor Chef is really, you know, yucking it up over there, man. Yeah.
So, like I said, I love this city. I am staunchly locked in on how much I love Portland. Does the team that's in this city love Portland? Because it kind of seems like they don't. We'll get to that next here. Moda Center negotiations. Progress was made, but still a big rift between the two parties. Get to that next here. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network. Wow. I can't believe I've heard this song twice in one day, and it's not the year 2003. Dude, it's a cut.
This beat, you know, I don't know who did this.
When this comes on in the club, the girls start to move, and it's not like the, you know.
Well, they used to.
Well, they still do. You'd be surprised.
I don't know if anybody's dancing. Maybe at a wedding. I don't know if anybody's dancing to this at, you know, at Jackie's.
I might have to recommend this at the next wedding I'm at.
Hey, man, can you play Lady Marmalade?
Lady Marmalade!
They throw this on at Dixie. The girls are moving.
Can you play Lady Marmalade? The pink one.
The pink.
Guy with the
Will Kim.
DJ's always got one thing on.
DJ The thumbs up. Dude, when I DJ weddings, that was my go-to. I got you.
Yeah.
And then that. 20 minutes later. No. Hey, I haven't heard Lady Marmalade.
What? I got you.
My bad. It's coming up soon.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I'm just riding out the clock. I'm just milking the clock, trying to get to the zeros, baby.
I might give him some of it, but then.
All right, time to switch the mood and get all pissed. So the Blazers, they went to the work session, the city council work session on Thursday to talk with the city council and negotiate and have a pissing match, basically, about, all sorts of stuff. Let me just read some quotes. Before I get to reading some quotes here, is the Blazers are pissed because one of the city council members, like a month ago, threw out, he's like, well, if, they leave, why don't we just, sue them to recoup some of that money? Like, just kind of, nonchalantly throwing that out. And now the Blazers have just, hung on to that. And they're like, whoa, hold on. So they said they were going to sue us. And it was like, no, this dude, he said that it was, hey, in the bridge agreement, there's this, clause that can say if you move the team, if you leave, then we can recoup the money for the renovation and have you give us that money back. And the Blazers are all bent out of shape because of the threat of litigation that was thrown out. The mayor, Keith Wilson, came out staunchly and said the mayor, the city administrator, the city attorney have never contemplated suing the Blazers. It's never been a part of our conversations. Back room with you, we are not contemplating suing the Blazers, Rip City Management, or any other parties. I just want you to make sure you trust us in that discussion. Where then the Blazers legal team was like, oh yeah, we hear you, but there's still the threat of litigation. He's like, I just told you.
Well, with any contract, there is a threat of litigation. If I break said contract, chances are I'm going to be sued or I'm going to have to pay some money. Like, that's anything, right? Am I tripping?
I mean, I think the Blazers want something in writing from the city. You can just say, hey, we're not going to sue you, but I think if they could come to some kind of
No, because then that's an easy way out for a guy that looks like he is. I've been on here saying, man, this is exactly what happened in Carolina. The teams were up and down. Everybody was nervous the team was going to be sold. They didn't want to pay for rent. Like, all this stuff was happening. But I'm just kind of looking like they keep moving the goalposts.
Well, so let me read this quote for
you. Please, go ahead.
Because, yeah, I think that's what they're doing in this. It's just like, whoa, okay. Now we're bringing up, the business climate and the political environment. Like, this is Dwayne Haskins, who at this point I think he's just willing to do whatever it takes to keep his job and has the proverbial gun to his head. Go and say these things. The dude was a social media guy for the LA Kings 13 years ago. He was doing social media tweets and has somehow found himself now the director of business or whatever his title is for the Portland Trailblazers. This guy has had an insane rise to the position he is at. So if I'm him, I'm like, I was tweeting for the LA Kings a decade and a half ago, and now I'm essentially the right-hand man, the voice of the Blazers in these damn, all right. Yeah, I'll do whatever you want. Like, dude, to keep my job? It's funny how he's there, but everybody else has gotten let go and fired, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes on to say, Portland's current stagnant business climate, high income taxes, and divisive political environment makes it a tough city to invest in, makes it harder to sell tickets, secure corporate sponsorships, and recruit players. I will say, those are correct statements. Like, being from the city, being in sales, being in advertising, trying to secure partnerships, I get the idea of, businesses that are based outside of Portland, hey, you want to invest in Portland? You want to, move here? Do you want to whatever? Portland? I don't know. What's going on there? Yeah. Is there a reason? What just happened the other Daimler Truck, I believe, is moving out of their Portland offices, closed 300. That's a pretty big business that's leaving here.
Columbia left, Nike for a long time left. There's a long list of businesses that said bye-bye to Portland because of the
climate. They've been back for a while.
No, that's what I'm saying. I said they did leave. They came back, but they said because of the way that business is happening in downtown, we're gone. Thankfully, they're back, but they're one of Columbia didn't come back.
Oh, there's you're talking the store?
Yeah, okay, downtown. Yeah, the area. It's like, they don't want to do business in downtown Portland. Like, is what I'm trying to say.
And I guess my pushback to that.
I've been there.
I guess my pushback to any of that is, have you ever been to Oklahoma City? Have you ever? I mean, seriously,
well,
my, my
that's
buddy,
not who
my
we're
buddy.
Up against.
No, but I'm saying my buddy went to Langston College, which was in OKC, and you're talking about a town of nothing. Have you been to San Antonio, Texas? I have. There's literally nothing in San Antonio except for the Alamo.
They can make a good margarita.
That's it. You know what I mean? That's really it. Winning changes all that stuff. If the Blazers are winning, when the Blazers were winning or when they were doing well, these weren't issues that people were having. When this team is not good, yeah, it's a little. And as far as selling tickets, even when they're bad, I'm seeing damn near sellouts every night, even when they're bad. These last few years up until this past year, yeah, there were still a lot of people at that game. Was it completely sold out every night? No. But there were still a whole lot of people at that game. So I think, man, as far as the Blazers and winning, I look at some other franchises around this league and like, yeah, there's – as a city, Portland S's on San Antonio. They kill OKC. It's not even comparable. I looked at OKC's when they had their parade – right when they won the championship, it was like, that's the weakest parade and shortest parade. Nobody was there. We crap on them by comparison as a city. So if you win, that changes everything. But yeah, I don't know. This sounds like a guy who never intended to keep a team here. You knew what the tax laws were here already.
So let me get to this too. Is this is all? I'm reading this from Jason Quick's article on The Athletic. Goes without saying, he's been awesome this whole time covering this. But he said after the Blazers contingent left this session after an hour, the several counselors noted they were confused by Hankins' complaints about income tax, as the city does not have an income tax, nor the authority to change the state income tax. Some questioned why it appeared Hankins was moving the goalposts on issues that didn't involve the Moda Center. What was supposed to be a session to talk about the Moda Center and renovations morphed into talks of litigation, taxes, and referendums on Portland's business climate.
That you have nothing to do with.
Well, and this is where it's like, it's a catch 22 for both of them, because I understand it's the right message, wrong messenger. Yeah. What Dwayne Hankins said, yeah, that's all true, but you've been in this city. Dundon bought this team months ago, knowing all this. Like, and now all of a sudden to be like, man, Portland's a tough city to invest in. And man, it's like, yeah, like, I mean, sorry, bud, but that's what you bought.
The team that you bought.
Back in March. So, I mean, March, April, May, whatever it was.
Did you not do your research on the team before you bought it? Did you not understand the city before you decided to put billions of dollars into this project? That's my whole thing. So that's why I'm saying now the intent to move has always been there. All the stuff that's happened, listen, bro, all this stuff that happened at first all seemed like, well, this is just a guy who doesn't know. This is a guy who doesn't know. After hearing that you bring up the income tax, and I'm like, wait, what? Like, that's stuff that the Blazers and the city, it's not something they can change right now. So you knew it would piss off fans, because the fans base isn't the problem, right? That's not the reason that anybody, and for most people, for the Expos or for the, I don't know, the Chargers or anybody that left the city for San Diego, man, attendance was down. It was hard to sell tickets. It was hard to do anything. People just didn't care. That's not the case here. So to piss off the fans, these two-way guys, I know they can go. They're not going to go. I'm going to do this with the hotels. I'm going to do this with the T-shirts. I'm going to do all these other little things. I'm going to fire the coach that got you, or let go of the coach that got you 42 wins and hire a new guy because he's cheap. He knew all these things would piss off the fans. And then you turn around and say, once we're like, man, we're cool with all that. Man, it's all good. You do your thing. Oh, but now the taxes are okay. We see where this is going now, because this is like if you've ever been in a relationship trying to save said relationship, and somebody is always, oh, well, this happened. As soon as you make things right, somebody, oh, well, now I'm upset about this. And now this is going. This is somebody that's trying to get out of that relationship. That's what's happening. He sees that there's something else he can do somewhere else, and like,
well,
I want to do that.
But the problem is, and Dirt and Sprague have done a great job exploring and talking to people in the cities that could be an additional option. And then Rop mentioned yesterday, and I thought it was a great point, that until you see another city that is like actively like, yo, we'll take the Blazers, and like start putting that out there and saying, like, Portland can move here. Yeah, we're lining things up. That, like, start actively using that dialogue. Like, because to me, like, the one that I think is a city that wouldn't mind having NBA is Kansas City. They have an arena there that's, like, ready to go. But they're not clamoring for it. And then Isaac, again, brought up a great point. It's like, dude, that's college basketball country out there. Like, Kansas is Jayhawks and even K-State to an extent, you know. But, like, it's just like, that is... It ain't an NBA city. Obviously, they don't have a team, but it's like, good luck competing against the Chiefs. Good luck competing against the Royals when they're good. But, I mean, like, that's where, and again, you haven't heard that city come out and say, like, we'll take them. We'll put it together. And also, Dundon's not going to pay all that money for the expansion fee. Like,
it's too expensive.
It's too expensive.
He doesn't have it. He literally does not have it. What is it? A couple hundred million?
He's the poorest owner of any owner in the NBA.
Yeah. So I it's just this weird...
Which is crazy to say about a billionaire, but yeah.
But it's just this weird back and forth of like, okay, you're threatening about like, well, it's tough to work here. It's like, but you bought the team and you can't move anywhere else because you can't afford to move anywhere else. And quite frankly, the NBA probably is not going to let you move anywhere else. All the owners got to vote on it. Mm-hmm. Like, so what... And again, I think I said last week, this is a lot of money. Not surprised it got to this point of it being pretty ugly. It could be worse, but again, dude, this has been ugly. I'm not surprised, though, because it's politicians in an election year. It's a billionaire owner. It's a lot of money, a lot of public money. Like, yeah, dude, like I understand why it's getting as contentious. It's a big deal. But the city doesn't really have a leg to stand on because do you, like, I love the city. Drove down through downtown today to get to the office. Yeah. Not a lot of business popping right now. A lot of boarded up places. A lot of for lease signs.
Wasn't very busy last night. I was downtown. Not a lot of people walking around.
And you want to take essentially the biggest brand that is known worldwide. You know, you could debate if Nike's bigger or whatever. Like, the Portland Trailblazers are an NBA Nike's franchise bigger. That is known internationally, right? Like, right. The NBA is huge in China. It's huge. Like, the Blazers, if it ain't Nike, the Blazers are the biggest company business
100%
in this area. You want to lose that?
100%. And you know what? Another thing, just with the expansion to Seattle in, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
3 years, yeah. That for me, as far as moving, it would make Adam Silver say, well, we do have another team in the Northwest coming, so it would make, if we wanted to let the Blazers go somewhere else, we could do that. And that's another thing that kind of scares me about that whole thing is, you know, the advent of the Seattle franchise.
Just on the text line, people bringing up the KC thing, and someone mentioned that the arena there is 25 years old and would need renovations also.
Oh yeah. So no, that's the thing is, what are you going to go move into a city with a ready-made arena? That's that we're talking about. Basically, you want to spend $600 million here for a renovation. It's going to turn into $1.2 billion for a renovation and moving a team and other fees.
And that's when you're talking about you're building these things. In a lot of cases, the taxes are going to be, because there is no, you know, state income, it's going to be a little bit cheaper to build something here as opposed to building it somewhere else.
And speaking of that whole income tax thing, Joe, I know we got to get out to break. I'd love to spend a little time when we come back, maybe giving my opinion on why I think the Blazers and city council are so far apart. And it's a lot more simple than people think. So it just is not the posturing is literally at sometimes looking like a husband and wife fighting. And it's just, I'd love to just delve into that a little bit because the lack of awareness during some of the questions seems pretty stunning.
Crazy, so, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Get back into it next. We also got some Big Ten stuff to get into here in this hour. But yeah, I mean, it's just this Blazers thing, man. I cannot wait for it to go. I can't wait to actually, like, I can't wait for the Blazers season to actually start.
Can we talk about the lineups?
Yeah, just start talking basketball again.
Who's Ja going to play with most, man? Like, is Drew going to be on the court with Ja? Can we get back to that, please?
All right, take a quick break, and then we will return here on Sports Saturday. But first, Jordan Schultz, hit us with a sports update, please. Welcome back in, Sports Saturday.
I like it.
Rashad.
this is awesome.
Buddy.
This is your song, dude.
Buddy.
Actually, you know these
Brother.
Guys?
Brother!
I don't know if they started it after COVID or a little bit further after COVID, but they have been doing, like, backyard concerts. They go viral on social media. Remember that? What a cool thing to do, to have the All-American Rejects literally, like, 30 feet away from you in your backyard playing a concert.
That's pretty tight.
Well,
that's how you put yourself back on the map.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we were talking about all the Blazer stuff. Yeah, I'm just ready for it to be over. Dude, they're going to pass it. And what cracks me up about this whole thing, and I think I said this on Wednesday, I was filling in on at the firm. I was just like, the reason I haven't, like, been tweeting or getting so animated and worked up all about this is because anybody that you talk to on this, whether it's, like, reporters, city council, whatever, whoever the hell, it always seems to come down to, like, yeah, but this will it's probably going to get passed anyways. Like, all this, like, freaking out, and then it always ends with, but in the end, it's probably going to pass. And so I'm like, okay, so what? Like, I'm just done.
Excuse me.
Literally put me in the, what is it, the sleep tubes that they have on spaceships and wake me up.
The cryogenic tubes?
Yes, yeah. Wake me up when September ends, literally. Listen, not even trying to pull the Green Day song there.
It's a great song.
I mean, I know that the season will be starting very soon if September ends, so just get me to that point, for the love of God.
Listen, guys, you guys know I've been very glass half full on this situation because I'm with you. I've for a long time, up until recently, I've kind of felt like this team is going nowhere. They're going to stay here. They're going to get this worked out. And then I think this is the same thing Seattle thought. There's no way they would move this storied franchise, championship franchise, with all-star, you know, Hall of Fame talent on it. There's no way they would move this team to Oklahoma City. Why? I know OKC, they were kind of the home of the Hornets after Katrina and everything like that. So that's kind of how they
showed it was a viable lucked
into
market.
Yeah, that's how they lucked into it. But they're a viable market. What is Portland? If OKC is supposed to be this moneymaker, and right now they are because they have a guy who's clearly, you know, among the best players in the league, the MVP. They have SGA, right? So you're going to get a lot more. And before that, they had Kevin Durant. And then after that, they had Russell Westbrook. So they've had a lineage of MVPs and stuff like that, man. But come on, man. We thought the same thing that Seattle, you know, was thinking the entire time. And we saw how that turned out. So I know I think it's going to get done. I hope it's going to get done. This city falls to pieces without the Trailblazers here.
Here's why I think it gets done really quickly. I don't think that some of the questions that are being asked by city council, like, there are some really good ones, but there were some that were just uneducated. And frankly, it's like you don't understand the terms that are being used. Two, I will point out very quickly, specifically when they're asking Dwayne Hankins first, I can't remember exactly which person it was on the council, but talking about the funding need and how they won't commit to a necessary number or hire an architect to work on the plans, you know, without like an agreement from the city of Portland to do so. And essentially the president laid out like, hey, we need the agreement from you guys, which includes the money to hire an architect. And if you don't know, hiring an architect, if you want to build a house, it's about 10% of the cost of that house. So if it's a $400,000 house, you're paying $40,000 for an architect to design it. And I saw people online being like, well, can you just go, Blazers can't hire an architect? No, it's going to take literal millions of dollars for a $600 million renovation to hire an architect. So no, as Dwayne Hankins said to the council, do you get it? We need that done. So that question, totally uneducated and just out of left field. And then the other one you guys were talking about after the Blazers left, the whole income tax question, that's not even what it is called. They're saying, oh, we don't have an income tax. No, you're referring to the spectator tax, the 6% that the city charges the Blazers on every ticket sold. And if we can't have an argument or a debate on city council without actually understanding the terms that we're discussing, this is just going to take longer and be more postured. Like, that is our problem, guys. We are defining words two different ways from one side to the other. Once that stops, I promise you, we will get a deal done.
Fingers crossed from your mouth to God's ears, bro. Hopefully,
All right, let's take a break. Let's get into some football, shall we? I've had a football chub the last, like, 2 weeks, and I want to keep that chub up, all right? I am, dude, during Sprague, we're talking, like, ACC football a couple weeks ago, and from that point, it has just been full. It has been 6 to noon the whole time. So let's continue. Big Ten Media Days happened this week. A lot of good quotes, and there is a team in the Big Ten that has a let's say, team tradition that I think is going to build that chemistry and camaraderie throughout the season and possibly push them over the edge into the championship. And I'll play that audio for you, Rashad and Jordan, and you listeners out there. But let's get into some Big Ten stuff next here. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network. What the hell is this? Is this Tool?
It's Chevelle. Vitamin R. It's one of their top songs, brother.
I don't know if I know
I think he's the Chevelle fan.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not sure if I know Chevelle.
I don't think, okay.
I know one Chevelle song, I'm pretty sure.
What's that song?
Is it The Clincher? Is that the one you know?
The Clincher?
Here's The Clincher. No, you don't.
Okay, oh, okay.
Rashad knows it. Rashad knows it.
I do?
This guy is a top 0.1% Chevelle listener on Spotify.
I had one Chevelle album growing up. One.
I'll be honest.
The Red. That was the song.
And
okay.
Don't, by Chevelle.
Don't be mad at me. I have no idea who Chevelle is.
That's okay.
You don't need to.
I have no clue.
They weren't like a punk rock. They were borderline butt rock. You know, you could hear them on, I don't know, like, on radio stage and be like, that was Godsmack playing coming up next.
I mean, like,
Chevelle.
Tool is a really good comparison. Yeah. Like, that's the brand.
Tool is...
That's kind of
Tool's great.
Tool's way better than Chevelle.
No. I agree with you, but I'm saying that's the music genre, like Deftones, kind of right, like that kind of those
Burner.
Groups.
Burner, and Tool's man. That I might have to go listen to some Tool later.
Did you guys ever listen to any Breaking Benjamin?
No, I did not listen to Breaking Benjamin. What I did listen to was plenty of interviews from coaches and players at Big Ten Media Day.
Oh yeah, everybody with their promises this year.
I love the confidence that every single coach has at media.
We all got the same record right now. Hey. So guess what, Boilermakers? we're going all the way to the championship.
Why not us? Yes. Why not us?
Guess what? Get up, Spartans fans. This is our year.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued with this season for just like a multitude of reasons in this conference. Like obviously, like who's going to win it? Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, great odds.
Hawkeyes.
Michigan. Obviously, they've got Bryce Underwood and now Whittingham. USC, we're watching the replay of Lincoln Riley spout off about how he really wanted to play Notre Dame and, oh God, really wanted to make it work and how he finally has all the tools that he needs in year five at USC. So a lot of good stuff coming out of it. Kurt Cignetti, Brett Bielema basically saying F the SEC, we're the best. In fact, I want to try and it's in the system. Cignetti, I want you to hear his quote because again, SEC is all butt hurt because they haven't won the last three championships.
Oh, no.
Big Ten is rightfully peacocking that they're we're the best conference. Like we got three championships. They literally have all three of the trophies on the stage all week at Big Ten Media Day to show you like, oh, yeah, that's 2024. Oh, that is. Yeah, last 3 years. Look at that. Look at those three trophies. Do we have the audio, Jordan? Yes?
The one that said where he's talking about it is the best league in football?
Yes.
Here
that
we go.
Is Kurt Cignetti.
The Big Ten is the best league in football. And a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams, very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain.
Cignetti,
slap them cheeks.
And apparently, another quote of his, someone said like, hey, you know, you won the championship. Obviously, you guys have a target on your back. And he responds, we got a bigger gun.
Mm.
I'm like, damn.
Bars.
Yeah.
All the time, this guy. He just blew out my team, my school, my alma mater, no less than like 8 months ago. And then I'm still sitting here like, damn,
that's
I can't hate this
that.
Guy.
That's how you do that,
Did
man.
You think someone would just thrust himself into the greatness of coaching, like, relevancy this quickly? Like, that quote
no, I mean,
is already among the best.
He is. There's going to be movies. There's going
to
be documentaries.
Has
that Cignetti. I mean, it's just a matter of time. You know,
hey,
they're all the streaming services are fighting for the screenplay and script right
how
now.
How could you not like Kurt Cignetti? Especially after last year.
Yeah.
Especially after there might be actually be a movie about these Indiana Hoosiers
Hoosiers 2? Hoosiers,
Hoosiers
part,
the football. Hoosiers the football team.
Electric
yes.
Boogaloo?
Absolutely.
It's a 100-yard field, yeah. kids.
No, but there might be an actual movie, a Disney movie made about this team just because.
I hope it's not a Disney movie. I want a Signetti movie.
Yeah, not if Fernando Mendoza is the star of that movie. You know, you're not going to. It's going to be very, very G-rated. But no, I mean, and he's absolutely right. We talk about the players and the teams in the Big Ten all the time. You look at this murderer's row of coaches that are in the Big Ten. Like, it's insane. Like, Brett Bielema, Kurt Cignetti. Obviously, you talk about Dan Lanning, Ryan Day, James Franklin, like Lincoln Riley. Like, get out of here. Like, these are just a
well,
few.
James Franklin no longer.
James Franklin Lee. No longer. Yeah, yeah, not anymore. Ryan, who is their coach now?
Matt Campbell.
Yes, yeah.
Came over from Iowa State.
Yeah, so you have just a list. Even without James Franklin there, just those guys that you mentioned are guys that are always at the top of the rankings every single year as far as their teams. And so, yeah, man, I think this is going to be another successful year. Honestly, who in the SEC, which would probably be the conference that would – most going to rival them? Like, what team in the SEC would you say would really end
Texas.
Up beating Texas? That's it.
Texas, Georgia,
and we'll see how that happened. We saw what happened with Texas last year, and obviously Arch is a year older, you know, a little more mature. So this may be the year that he kind of takes off, like we all think. But for the most part, I think we can all kind of say that the champion again will probably end up coming from the Big Ten.
Don't have the audio of this, but it. It's just so silly, and I hate when it's not hate, but it's just like sometimes you'll get you. I'm sure there's some national media people out there you like, mm-hmm. you know. There's some national reporters and hosts and whatever the case is. There's some out there that you like. There's some that you hate. I hate Emmanuel Acho. Cannot stand him.
Can't stand Acho.
One right. person that I do like as a host on ESPN, I think she does a good job, is Laura Rutledge on NFL Live. Sure. Yeah, Meanie Kimes does a great job. This is where you can lose me, Laura, is where she goes on Pat McAfee and she goes.
Strike one. Strike one. Yeah.
I'm not a McAfee guy either.
Pretty fair point. Where's the.
Can't wait.
They're going to pay that guy $65 million a year.
Anyway, so she was on there for God knows what reason. And it's a pretty long quote, but she basically said that the SEC. Having nine conference games now, she says the competition within the SEC is so difficult that nine games of craziness week in and week out, a little different than other conference. Furthermore, they're gassed. And that's what, so one, they've never played nine games. So how do you know that that is going to happen? And then two, what was lauded from the SEC all these years when they were winning championships was how battle tested the SEC teams are, right? It's a grind going through the SEC. That's why we're winning championships.
After they play Appalachian State and after they beat up on the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
Let's also keep in mind that Alabama was the one winning like all those championships for the most part. Like LSU got their one, Georgia got their two, and then Alabama got their 57 championships during that time. So was it really SEC or was it
really just Alabama?
Alabama, right. Yeah. And also, of course, I had to go and do myself a little Googling of Laura Rutledge. And sure enough, where's her alma mater?
Auburn.
Hey.
University of Florida.
Oh, I was close.
So I was just like, I bet you she went to an SEC school. And I Googled it. And sure enough,
that's usually how it goes, man. Gator. And that's what I always loved about like Pac-12 fans or people that went to like a Pac-12 school. It's like, I think you were pretty humble about it. You kind of knew that, hey, man, we're going to be really competitive. USC is going to have a great year. I don't know. I think somebody from the SEC is going to win. It might be Michigan from it. Like, we kind of knew that it wasn't going to be them. Like, we would know our conference is fun and, yeah, lots of scoring and everything, but ultimately, like, just can't win the big one. Like, if you're from an SEC school, you think that your conference is the best every year, regardless of what the stats say.
Yep. Got some audio from this week. It was the Oregon Ducks. Obviously, we're at Big Ten Media Day. We had Dante Moore, Jamari Johnson, and Tatum Tuioti out there. And Brenna Green for, I believe she is, I don't know if she's K2 or Fox,
I think she's
12,
Coin,
whatever. She's one of them. She went to Big Ten Media Day and to try and loosen things up She asked Jamari Johnson who's most likely to make a joke in the huddle, you know, to like lighten the mood. And his answer, Rashad, it goes to show me that this team is so tight-knit. The camaraderie, the chemistry is so strong that if they're willing to say this on camera and on tape, I'm taking the Ducks all the way this year, baby.
Sometimes Dante farts in the huddle and we have like a little competition of who could fart in the huddle, but I would say really everybody, but mostly Tay because he farts a lot.
So. How did this farting in the huddle tradition start?
Oh my gosh. Who said that? JJ. I knew it.
JJ, I knew it.
Too much stuff is getting leaked out. You got to find ways to connect with your team, so we do that.
Man, I certainly hope the center isn't letting
cool,
one go.
Because
then Dante Moore has to
just
go right
on
in
his
there.
Hands. Whoa! I saw a lot of like tweets and being like, what a bunch of weirdos out there in Oregon. And I'm like, okay, if you ever played football into high school, or if you had the opportunity to play into college, you get that many
athletes
young boys together.
Oh, yeah.
Athletes are quirky.
Yeah.
Freshman year of high school, my team, we would have study hall immediately after school for like an hour, and then we would go practice, right? We would be in study hall doing our thing, being all quiet, and then one guy would go to the bathroom, and then another guy would go to the bathroom, and then three more. And then, you know the game from Harold and Kumar called Battle S?
Oh my gosh. Yep. Instead of the game Battleships, it is another word.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So freshman year at Sherwood High School, we would go for about like 15, 20 minutes, leave study hall, go in the bathroom and play Battle S. And we had a point system. We had standings. We had bragging rights.
Gotta be real.
And guess what?
That's weird, bro.
That freshman team at Sherwood, we had like four or five comebacks in the fourth quarter that year. I think we lost maybe one game. We might have gone undefeated again. What we did during that time at Study Hall, it brought us together. We were a tight-knit group. We built that camaraderie and that friendship.
You couldn't just watch the Sandlot together or something like that?
Air Bud.
Do a beer run or something? You know, that's another way to bond you guys. Like.
Well, we bonded other ways.
Okay.
I mean, there was, We liked the Mota over there in Sherwood, so there was definitely that.
Oh,
too.
Oh yeah,
it's
normal,
tight.
You didn't. This was never.
This was never a thing, and maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't know. This is never
cultural.
A thing.
That was Jamari Johnson saying that, and Dante.
Yeah, farting. Farting is one thing. Hey guys, you guys want to go to the bathroom?
It was one of this like.
Who's
was,
in the first stall?
It
I
was
gotta
sort
know
of
who's down giving points
it,
to.
It was sort of signals, you know, just like. And then you could tell also, like, listening, like, that wasn't a real fart. That was, you faked that. That's not real. Minus 2 points.
Jeez.
Talk about that more to more connection. Yeah. Can we get, like, a more to more fart? Like, oh, the double more fart and the.
Well, I need you to pull some drops out of that, Jordan. I think
fart.
I need the Dante farts a lot or Tatum farts a lot. Whatever you can find. Just find me as many 2 to 4 second clips.
I think it's Dante farts a lot in the huddle.
I want Dante to. Give me as many little clips of that as you can, please.
Dante farts.
I was dying when I heard that, dude. Like, no. the fact that Jamari Johnson was just like straight up just admits it.
And it sounds weird. It really sounds weird. I know it sounds weird to a lot of people, but the truth is, like, there are some really intense moments out there on the field. Right, and your guys are
gotta cut one sometimes.
And number one, your stomach is probably in knots. Number one, but number two, sometimes it's good to just kind of calm your guys down with just being.
Hey boys,
able to laugh.
We're all right. Let's go.
Come on, bro. You're so stupid. Like if there's a tense moment, somebody did that all of a sudden. Like bro, you're so dumb. Like okay, laugh. All right, y'all, let's get this together.
All right, guys, fourth quarter. All right, we gotta play good here. Let's start this drive off well, and then we will get this game and get this win. Okay. All right, let's go, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, unless they're getting blown out or something like that.
Yeah, this no was the, farting allowed at
yeah,
that point.
This like, was the
no
the,
dancing, no dancing to shout, no farting.
Yeah, yeah, don't do that at all. Just saying.
Too many protein shakes.
I also love Dante just saying, there's too much stuff getting leaked out. I want that as a drop as well. There's too much stuff getting leaked out. Good job, Brenna Green. That is the journalism we need at Big Ten Media Days.
Speaking of Dante Moore, I turn to my left, look at the TV, and who's on the screen?
Dante Moore.
Yeah, throwing touchdown passes.
She really, the follow-up question, saying it's like, what? So when did the farting start? Like, Brenna, that was choice. There, not every reporter would do that. So
I don't
that
know.
Was awesome.
Well, she also got Dylan Gabriel in that interview. I think it was at the Rose Bowl a couple years ago. Where honestly, he just looked high as a kite and was like, yeah, let's do more domes. Let's do more. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. So I don't know what it is about Brenna Green, but she's getting the guys to let their guard down. And absolutely love it. So that way we can play audio like that. Hour number two coming up. We'll switch over to the NFL. Start looking at our NFC North, AFC North predictions. We'll do that for the next couple segments. After that, I got a segment called The Kyles. I will explain that more as we get closer. And then we got Timbers game tonight against Seattle. We got some audio for that as well to send you into the weekend. But hour number two, stay tuned. We got NFL divisional predictions next. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network.